Good evening.
Welcome to April 20th, 2023, Eastern Housing Authority Board Meeting. Can we start with the roll call, please?
Chairman Segura.
Present.
Vice Chair Simpkins.
Present.
Commissioner DeFreitas.
Present.
Commissioner Houston. Commissioner Martinez.
Present.
Commissioner Scott.
Present.
Next agenda item is passing of the public minutes. Can I get a motion to pass a resolution of the March 16th public hearing minutes? And a second?
Second.
Any comments or concerns?
As well, John.
We're not there yet. Can we get all in favor, say aye?
Aye.
All right, any opposed?
No.
This is one abstention, three ayes, one no, and one abstention. Resolution passes. Also need a motion to pass resolution, March 16th, regular meeting minutes. Can I get a motion? Can I get a second?
Second.
Any comments or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
You don't oppose or you oppose?
I oppose.
Okay. So we get three yeses, one no, and one abstain. And we're going to abstain because Ms. Nicole Smith wasn't here. That's why she's just going to abstain from it. So the motion passes. And the third, approval of minutes, I need a motion for the resolution of the March 24th special meeting minutes. Can I get a second?
Second.
Any comments or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, resolution passes, four ayes, one no. Okay, being there is no correspondence. Ms. Crowley, can you give us your report, please?
Yes, sir. Starting with revenue, our February HUD subsidy for Bowman Towers and for March, $68,615. HUD subsidy for the other sites, $55,049 in February, $55,050 in March, $1 difference. Proceeds from capital funds and the Ross grant, in February we paid out $461,703. In March we paid out $9,469. That was just for the Ross grant. Shortfall funding, the grant that we get from HUD each month. February we requested $84,219. We did not make a request for March. So the total amount we received from HUD for March was $133,134. Other revenue, not from HUD, which include laundry commissions, cap office, health center, Verizon, and interest, $5,608 in February, $7,810 in March. So we went up a little bit for the month of March. Tenant charges, February, $160,492. In March, $163,125. Very close, but a little bit more in March. Late fees were $1,800 in February, $2,579 in March. Miscellaneous charges were $2,006 in February, $2,008 in March. Air conditioning costs in February was $781, no amount for March. Write-offs and move-outs, we did not have any for the month of February or March. So the total tenant charges for February were $165,870, and in March it went up a little bit to $168,695. Total collected from tenants through the 5th of the month were $85,000, rounding down, and $69,925 for March. So we did collect more by the 5th. Total collected for the month, $133,370 in February, $139,682 in March, so we collected a bit more in March. Prepaid rents were $6,863 in February, $12,710 in March, changes in prepaid rent were -$428 in February, $5,847 in March. Total unpaid tenant balance in February was $32,500, which we added to the already outstanding tenant balance. In March, it went down a little bit to $29,013. So the all outstanding charges for everything for tenants through February was $926,933. And for March, $955,947. For bills paid, we had for February, $252,684. March, we paid $307,627. Reasons that it went up was it was a three pay period in March, so that was a little bit more. Medicare unit turnarounds, we didn't have any in February. We paid $27,050 for March, so that increased it. Office expenses went from $1,000 to $2,700. Maintenance supplies were just about the same, $5,008 and $6,003. Credit card was $5,005 for February and $10,082 for March. And that's because of the way we received two bills. So that's why that was so much more. Commercial insurance was $57,000 in February, just $1,000 in March. Health insurance was the same, $26,995. Lawsuit deductibles was closed from $280 to $752 in March. Legal fee, attorney fee, $3,200 for February. In February, $6,400 for March, but that was because it was a double payment, one we had not paid. Propane was close, $1,500 versus $1,700 for this month. Gas was $39,000 in February, $35,000 in March. Electric, $21,000 in February, $24,000 in March. Robeson was $15,000 in February, $32,009 in March. That's because we received two bills during that period. Trash collection was nothing in February because we pay it quarterly, $21,000 in March. Exterminator, nothing in February, $1,588 in March. Elevator, $2,006 in February, nothing in March. And as I said, payroll was $71,000 versus $108,000 because it was a three-pay month. Ross Grant, we requested from HUD and paid out $11,894 in February, $8,981 in March. In capital funds and repositioning attorney fees, we requested $449,809 from HUD in February, $488 in March. Court proceedings, we haven't been getting any for months and months and years and years, but we are now getting a few. So we have some cases in court for eviction. Some the court is doing stipulation agreements, and the outstanding balance of all that's in court is $97,996. For the people that have skipped or been evicted, that balance that we lose so far is $103,846. Excuse me. Just a whole list of tenant repayment agreements from 21 through now. So those you can look at. There are a lot of them, so I won't bother to go through them. But some tenants are paying, some tenants are not. If they don't pay, we send them to court. So that's just working like it usually works. The work orders in March, we had 99 work orders, and as of the last date of March, 95 were complete. There were four outstanding work orders at the end of the month. Unit turnovers, we are doing very well with, and we have, of the last day of the month, we had three vacancies, which is a very excellent vacancy rate. We didn't have any bed bug exterminations for March. And our total accounts receivable, later no rent, which I alluded to earlier. Past due for March, Bowman Towers, which has 144 units, 137 of those households owe a balance of $463,927. But Dunbar Heights, who has 96 units, 89 of those households owe $348,647. The Turnkeys, which are 33 units, 24 owe $143,373 for March. So the total owed March, past due for all tenants, all charges, 250 of the 273 units that public housing owns, that's 92% of them, owe $955,947. The police reports for February 28th through March 6th. For Bowman Towers, there were 33 visits. 27 of them were follow-up or patrol. Six of those visits were two medical aides, an escort, an EDP, that's an emotional abuse third person, an agency assist, and an unwanted party. Same period, Dunbar Heights had 27 visits. 25 were routine or follow-up. The two other calls were a medical aid and a criminal mischief. For the week of March 7 through 13, Bowman Towers had a total visits of 36. 25 of them were follow-up or patrol. The other 11 were three parking complaints, an intoxicated person, a medical aid, a noise complaint, two disorderly groups, an escort, an unwanted party, and a domestic situation. Dunbar Heights, for the same period of time, had a total of 15 visits, 14 were follow-up or patrol, one was a parking complaint. The Emergency Solutions Grant, which I've talked about a couple of months previous, which is the program by Human Development Services of Westchester, which is a Westchester County-based nonprofit, they were handling funds that came from the federal government to assist people that were behind in their rent in some of the arrears if they qualified. We found that 134 households were eligible for the program, 134 Peekskill Housing Authority households. 52 of the households responded and return the release information forms that we had to submit to ESG. We sent a second notice and tried on a second time to contact families in case they had missed the first notice that they could do this. And on the second try, we got an additional two households that responded that brought the total respondents to 54. The ESG program reached out to the 54 tenants for additional information so that they could process whether they would get money or not. And these funds were originally stated to be up to 3 months of rent for the tenants that qualified, and it was increased to up to 6 months of rent arrears. Of the 54 tenants that provided the initial information, only 9 tenants responded in a timely manner to the ESG program to receive up to 6 months rent arrears payments. So as of this time, I think they've processed one that they are going to pay, and there's the possibility of the other 8. So far looks good. So 9 out of 134 eligible households went through the process of trying to get that money. For Rent Cafe, we've been trying to get more people to pay their rent online and do other things online, like find out what their rent balances are and put in work orders, that sort of thing. It hasn't been very good, so we've been doing a raffle for people that do pay or sign up to pay. So in the raffle, the winners last month were Samantha Smythe from Dunbar Heights, Katrina Gray from Turnkey, and Serena Miller from Bowman Towers. So financial highlights for the month were Tenant charges, which I've said, $165,870 February, $168,696 in March. Total collected, $133,370 in February from the tenants. In March, $139,682. From HUD revenue, operating subsidy was $116,667 budgeted for March, and we received $123,665, which was a little bit more than we had budgeted for. Capital funds, Dunbar Heights turnkey architect and construction costs, last month $449,000. This March, we didn't request anything. Legal repositioning fees was $600 for February, $488 for March. Ross Grant administration and expenses and costs were $11,894 that we request directly from HUD in February, and $8,981 in March. Shortfall funds, a grant that we applied for and received from HUD, we requested $84,219 last month, which they gave us, and we did not make a request for March. So total HUD revenue, $669,586 in February, $133,134 in March. Other income we received in February was $5,278, $7,810 in March. Administrative expenses are under budget. Utilities, which are outrageous this year, monthly budget, we budgeted $65,417 for this month. We actually, we were charged $94,539. So that's a significant difference, higher than what we had budgeted. But as I said, we used those shortfall funds that we had the grant from HUD to help us supplement the utilities so it doesn't make our budget too out of whack. Maintenance costs are under budget. Extraordinary items that we had during the year, we had to do a channel drain at Park Street. We had not budgeted anything for it. It just came about, $6,030. Bowman Towers boiler valve replacement and rebuilding of a leaking copper line pipe, $5,739. Dunbar Heights oil tank rental, $5,100, for a total of $16,869. There is a Kylie Center project not underway. We're just in the process of trying to get it organized. This is a Wilder Balter spearheaded initiative to rehabilitate the Kylie Center for Westchester County residents. The objective is to have the Boys and Girls Club of Northern Westchester operate an appropriately scaled program to renovate the Kylie Center, which is owned by PHA. Commitments to date to achieve this objective: the county is doing a bond in the amount of $4 million for that project. I think the appropriations has been made, and so they're just waiting to get further along with a contract. Downtown Revitalization Initiative is awarding $1,500,000. I think that's already been granted by New York State for the renovations at Kylie Center. And $250,000 of that award will be used for architectural and engineering services. The City of Peekskill has passed a resolution allocating $300,000 per year with an annual 2% increase over a 10-year period for the Boys and Girls Club to operate once the building is renovated. Peekskill Housing Authority passed the resolution authorizing me to enter into negotiations for a long-term lease agreement with the Boys and Girls Club, but we have not gotten to that point yet. We are now at the stage where the county, since they are responsible for the most money that's going to go to the Kylie Center, they are working with their attorneys and the bonding companies and everyone to get an agreement that can be passed along to the Housing Authority for review and acceptance. And once that agreement gets done, then there'll have to be some other agreements done also. The first one will be with the county because they're the top because they have the most money in it. There'll also have to be an agreement with the Boys and Girls Club and other entities that are going to do things there. But that's not ready to be done yet. The first thing that has to happen is an agreement between the Westchester County and the Housing Authority. And Westchester County is spearheading creating that agreement. Repositioning. The Housing Authority at some point selected Wilder Balta to be the partner for the Housing Authority to rehabilitate all of the properties. Our repositioning council and I, that's Whiteman, Osterman, and Hannah, and attorney Brian Lawler is the lead attorney for us, had been working with Wilder Balta for months to try to come up with a term sheet, which is the agreement that would be between the Housing Authority and Wilder Balta to move forward to become the actual partner with PHA and to do the repositioning. Whoever's going to be the partner is going to have to be the bottom person for the financing, because Housing Authority can't get financing. PHA has attempted to get this document done, and we have been unsuccessful. I believe that it leaves the board in a position of where I think it should be is to stop negotiating, because the things that we've asked for, the things that we can't agree upon, were in the request for qualifications, that these are things that the Housing Authority is not negotiating. This is what we must have. One of those things is that the PHA must be the sole managing agent for the properties.
Absolutely.
Will not agree to it. I've stopped negotiating. PHA must have approval of the general contractor's contract. We must have that because the repositioning partner has a financial interest in the general contract.
Yeah.
So you must have that. You cannot do this without that. And the other thing is that the PHA must have approval of investors and lenders. The reason for that is because if we sign a contract, if we get a contract with them and we don't have these things in there, the investor and the lender can come back and say, we won't invest, we won't lend if you want to do that. So we've got to have this very clear that we have to be at the table with the lenders and the investors in order for this to go any further. We haven't been able to go any further. My suggestion was to just stop with them, and the board could decide what they wanted to do about it, and that you have some options. I mean, you can continue with them. I mean, Wilder Balta said they're just going to wait until there's a new board and a new executive director. Well, they're the contractor. How do you do that? You know. Anyway, so the board can do some things. You can continue with them. You can not continue with them. I mean, 7 months we've tried to get them to agree to this, and they have not. You can forget about that altogether and start all over again. You've only lost some time. You've only lost time. And if you do that, you can get who you want, and you can be at the table from the beginning. We already know what we've asked for. That's done. It's been out before. You can put it out again. Or there were four businesses interested when we did it before. Wilder Balta was chosen. One was not, I don't remember why, but was not considered. The other two were considered but weren't chosen. You can choose to go back to the two that were considered and not chosen, or you can put it out again altogether and start from the ground up. So that's up to you. Other news is that HUD is saying that over-income tenants in public housing, the Housing Authority has to update some policies. But once those policies are updated and put out for public notice and approved by the board, over-income tenants will be mandated, required by HUD to be out of public housing in 2 years.
Absolutely.
They must go. And I sit in here and hear people talk about these poor tenants all the time, so I thought I would share with you that we have plenty of tenants here that are not poor tenants. Here are the top 10 annual household incomes for people in public housing. $122,855. $153,301. $99,765. $177,594. That person happens to owe $33,600 in back rent. $126,575. $100,377. $104,794. $122,693. $145,524. And $177,690. Those are household incomes of people that live here right now. And of all those households, those top 10, only three of them have no balance. And these are just the top 10. Around 100,000 and up. We have many others.
My God.
But pending grants, we have Dunbar Heights bathrooms. That's still just where it was. We haven't gotten any further. That's gonna be a $600,000 Dunbar Heights bath renovation. Dunbar Heights kitchen, state funded, is gonna be $310,000, and PHA is waiting for approval on that. For a tenant portal.
Excuse me. Thank you.
For a tenant portal, we're still trying to get tenants to do things online rather than call the office or come through the office all the time. So far of the 273 units that we have 88 households that have registered to use the portal and are using the portal. That's 32 from Bowman Towers, 30 from Dunbar Heights, 16 from 1431 Park, 8 from 1719 Park, 2 from 1227 Howard, for a total of 88. For the waitlist applicants, people on the waitlist that have joined, there are 80 of them. Activity to date, 11 households have put in work orders, 457 have requested what their balances are in a month, and 158 have updated personal information, and that includes people on the wait list. Been no activity for uploading recertification documents and no activity for communications with the staff. So recently, PHA opened the wait list for all bedroom sizes for the Housing Authority. The wait list was open from March 3rd to March 23rd. We advertised in the Journal News, on PHA website, Westchester County Department of Social Services, each district in Westchester, Preservation Company, PHA Facebook, PHA Bulletin Boards, Westcott, Peekskill, Ossining, and Mount Vernon, FADA, Peekskill City Hall, Jan Peek House, Westchester Residential Opportunities, PHA Newsletter, Peekskill Field Library, Sun River Health. We had 106 applicants on the wait list when we opened it. We received 261 applications. We now have 367 applicants on the wait list. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Price.
You're quite welcome, sir.
Any questions on the report?
For the older income, are they all in one section of housing, or are they spread out throughout the redevelopment?
They're wherever they are. I mean, they.
Are they all in Bowman, or are they all?
They're wherever they are in Peekskill Housing Authority. Nobody is set out to put all the tenants with high income in a single place.
No, I'm not asking that question.
What's the question?
How many?
I don't know how many.
I mean, you have them written down, so I think you can't itemize. Where
I could have, but I did not. I only wanted to talk about the top 10 because they were $100,000 or more. But we have other tenants that are over income, and they will all, once we've done the policies, the information will be sent out to the tenants and also to the board.
Is there a reason why, could I ask? A reason why?
I'm curious. I just want to know.
And you will.
If they were in there for that long, how come, you know, I understand that HUD is getting new policies and procedures, but the income is every year you have to get your paperwork done. So every year you know how much people are earning in these houses. Supposed to be. You're supposed to get recertified every year. each certification means that they're supposed to bring their income guide.
Only if they're honest, right?
We have so many people in court now.
Only if they're honest.
That is correct.
And so how do they know that a person is making, you know, $170?
Even if they don't report it to us, it goes to a central, it goes to a central site that's run, IRS, Social Security, lots of places populate that. So when they don't give it to us, we may not find out because the system is always far behind. So it may be a year, maybe 2 years before we know that they didn't report this as income. These are not all people that are not reporting the income. For a long time, there was no limit. You had a limit to get into public housing. There was no limit once you got in. But for quite a few years, HUD has been moving towards these people have to get out because there are people that need the housing that don't make this kind of money, you know? So they've been working towards, and now it will be done.
I feel like I'm out the loop. I never knew that. I never knew there was no limit.
Once you were in.
Once you were in. Wow.
I have a question. I know that we requested a lot. In February shortfall funds, you requested $84,219, in March, zero. Why? I mean, if we owe so much money, why don't we?
Because I could only make requests at certain times, and I can only make requests for certain things. So for a particular month, if I want to request the money for utilities, which I do a lot of, I have to wait for all the utility bills to be in, and I have to also wait for HUD to say, we put a certain amount of money in this account for you, and then I can request the money.
Okay, we still owe utilities, we still owe, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the Help Center, I know that we're receiving rent, but who's renting it? It's always empty and no one's getting services.
What are you talking about?
The Help Center at Bowman Tower.
The Health Center pays for that space, and they've been paying for it, and they've been paying for it for the 10 years that I've been here. Whether they use it or whether they don't use it, they rent it and they pay for it. Sometimes there's been a program there, and many times there has not been a program there. But even when there's no program, they have rented it. They have never missed a payment ever in the 10 years. They pay for it so that when they want to use it, they have it there for their benefit.
For their benefit. So for $740 a month, the tenants cannot get an actual health provider in there to take care of tenants. I mean, I gather you're getting the money every month they always pay, but the tenants are not getting the use of the space. It's wasted for the tenants, is how I see it.
Okay.
Now, then, okay. With the legal attorney fee and the legal labor, where is the legal in the room? February, $3,200. March, $6,400. Didn't we bid? Don't we have a contract? What are the costs for? Do we pay as we go?
It's a retainer for our attorney.
That's the retainer.
It's a retainer.
So we pick an attorney and we do the contract. Does it have the breakdown?
It's a retainer.
I know what a retainer.
He does whatever we ask him to do for that amount of money each month. If we go outside of that, we would pay him more, but that's what he gets in a month for the day-to-day work of the housing authority.
So he submits his own invoice to you?
He may. We have it in our contract. He doesn't have to send me an invoice because the contract says I'm going to pay him that amount every month, and I do.
So
I mean, if
it's $3,200 one month and then double, $6,400 to five.
The only time it's doubled is when we haven't paid one. Sometimes we missed one. Nobody's getting any extra money out of here.
No, I'm just asking why we're paying that. I know we have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question would be the credit card expense here, $5,518 in February to $10,082 in March. Separate charge. What for what? What are we using the credit card for?
I think we had this conversation last month and you were coming to the office to see, and I didn't see you this month.
Credit card.
We had the same conversation last month.
It's a tax sheet.
That I'm not going to go item by item by item by item to tell you what $5,000 went for, but we have it in the office, and I invited you last month to come to the office to see for yourself.
Yeah. Are we? Okay. Now, on the bottom, I just want to mention this. Unit turnaround contract, $27,050. Completely inappropriate for a unit contract, turnover contracts. That is inappropriate. I want to know.
How do you know?
Because I know what it costs. Unless that's a gut rehab, I don't know.
Did you see the pictures that we sent today of what those units look like before and after? Did you see them? You got them last month also.
And I said last month.
Well, you may say it every month.
And I said last month.
You may say it every month, but the fact remains that we put it out to bid. We see who will give us the lowest cost. We take the person with the lowest cost, and that's what we do. And I keep telling you every single month, that money does not come from the tenants. That money does not come from you. That money does not come from anybody except HUD. I did a grant. I got the grant. And from that grant, HUD says you can pay your costs for turning over those units. That money comes directly from HUD. It's no negative for the Housing Authority.
Okay. Any money not spent on these expenses, we end up with extra, which is how we catch up on what we owe.
Doesn't work that way.
It does, but
no, it doesn't.
Does not work that
now,
way.
Also, I remember last month, and I remember throughout the months, and I remember talking to all of my tenants, where in the board meeting, because it was said, and it is here in a minute, if you want to go over them. Capital funds project repositioning attorney fees. We weren't repositioning yet. It says in your own words.
We're not repositioning because we have to negotiate. And in negotiating, they have an attorney, and we must have an attorney. And HUD allows a certain amount of money for us to use from Housing Authority money for a repositioning attorney.
$449,000,
well, with a roundup. That's not for attorney.
It's not my attorney, but I am a tenant commissioner that's concerned with the amount of money we are paying out, even if it is HUD's. Because at the bottom line of HUD, you have a $3.5 million budget yearly, and therefore, any money that we do not spend on these other things can be transferred.
No. Cannot.
No.
Yes, they can.
No.
Okay, well, you know.
No.
No, your accountant said so. Your accountant said so in our meeting. He said, if you take 20 out of here and put 20 over there, the bottom line would be the same.
And that would be called commingling funds.
No, that is after you allocate the funds that you requested for whatever it was allocated for. Anything that's over gets to be transferred.
No.
You say no. All right.
No.
Okay, I have it too.
You got the ACC?
Yeah, it's fine.
Read it.
I have it. The accountant sat here and told us that to the whole board, which I repeatedly asked for minutes for because nothing is being recorded properly. But I recorded it, so it's fine. As far as the tenant payment agreement listing on page 4, why is it that someone gets 9 years to pay $3,000? Why is it that someone gets 45 years to pay $28,000? Why is it that someone has a balance of $13,000. Here's my question, because of this, here's my question. Under 5 years and accruing, even if you derive from 2 years or 3 years and they're making their payments, that's one thing. But to let someone have a balance of that kind of rent, why? Why for so long? Why does someone get 20 years in one situation, another person only gets 2 years? Why does one person who has 4 years, but he's not paying, why isn't he being gone after? They don't match. The years for the amounts owed and the tenants, how long they get to pay it? I never knew you could have someone in a repayment for 45 years. So I'm asking why.
Well, if they can't pay their rent, how much do you think they can pay for a repayment agreement?
My question is, how does HUD go into a repayment agreement for 45 years?
HUD doesn't go into a repayment agreement. Sometimes the judge goes into a repayment agreement, or the Housing Authority goes into a repayment agreement. But HUD does not do repayment agreements.
That's good. It's not even a phone call. It's not. To know that it can't.
And we're doing a repayment agreement. You've heard us talk about almost $1 million in past due rent. How you think those tenants are going to pay it if they do a repayment agreement? We just asked them, what do they think they can afford to pay? This is good faith. We don't expect to get the money back. I don't. I don't know what anybody else expects. But I do expect for them to do a repayment agreement and pay something in good faith. That's it. That's all.
I'm going to just mention it for the record, because again, I think that it goes against what HUD stands for. I think it goes against what the Public Housing Authority stands for. It goes against all of social services. Just because you live in public housing does not make you a criminal.
Who said it did? Who said it did?
I'll explain why.
Yeah, you do that.
33, again, I ask respect of the board. 33 visits to Bowman, 27 were follow-ups. There were only six real calls, three parking complaints, a drunk person, someone who needed medical aid, a noise complaint, two disorderlies, and an unwanted party. Okay, they break it down. The rest are just routine.
I have the scanner, and you actually had more calls than that. My name is Leah Brown, and I'm listening to you, and God bless you. But if you don't know no better, you can't do no better. Everything you're saying is wrong. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, because this housing authority has been plagued for years with this nonsense. A board that won't listen, that does not follow the ACC. You have conflicts of interest. I don't want to see anybody lose any housing here. But this for generations. For generations. You talk about payment agreements. I got kicked off a board and had a bogus lawsuit because I did the same thing you did, demanded rent money. You got a judge who's making agreements with tenants he has no right to do. And if you're the attorney, you should probably look at the ACC. The judge has no right whatsoever making negotiations with any of the tenants. If they are back in rent, they pay their rent. If the housing authority comes up with an agreement, then they do. But it seems like every time you get a director or someone that wants to follow the rules, or a board that wants to follow the rules, everybody's in the uproar and wants the board removed, or this one kicked off, or that one kicked off. You got board members telling tenants they're gonna make sure somebody doesn't get a job. Your job, and all of your jobs as board commissioner, is for the agency. That's who it's for the agency. And it appears that when people go and do what they're supposed to do for the agency, then everybody wants to put everybody in an uproar and have everybody removed. Well, I'm here to tell you that some of the things that the board members are saying to the tenants outside of these rooms and in an illegal tenant commission that's been put together against the ACC is wrong. Telling people that they're gonna make sure somebody doesn't get a job, well, you can't do that.
I wanna know who on the board.
Okay, well, I'm not naming it out. A tenant came to me. I'm just saying you got a good thing going here, a good board. Try to keep it good. But don't stop attacking and every little thing. Have you looked at the cars in the parking lots of these housing authorities, the people that aren't paying their rent?
How do you know whose car is paying their rent?
How do I know? Because I'm downtown Brown. I know it all.
I know.
Okay. All right. I know it all. And you want to know something? I hate what happened to the Kylie Center. But if you sit down and you don't do anything about it, that's what you get. This Walter is the Kylie Center. Now he's going to do the Housing Authority. I went to Greenberg Housing Authority, who has a state and federal site. There's things that could have been done if you guys would work with your director. Every time you get a director that wants to follow the rules, that director is garbage, and then now that director's out. So now you don't want to stick the devil that you know. You want to get somebody else. I'm going to caution the board to be careful. Okay? I'm going to caution the tenants. Be careful, because no matter what you do, gentrification is here. Okay? And in a couple of years, they're going to have them off that avenue down there at Bowman Towers. No matter what. no matter what anybody says, and you're not going to be able to cook in the bullpen, you're not going to be able to have loud boom boxes on the sidewalk, because now you got a new bunch of people living across the street from you that paid some money for them homes.
Yes, I appreciate, Mr. Mayor, I just want to finish up with our...
I'm sorry, I just lose control when I hear people that...
Then we'll get to comments concerned, and you can...
I'm sorry.
But I will not be accused of any of that, because I have not done any of it.
Robert?
You don't think, don't worry.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so, you know, here it says that the Peekskill Housing Board, or commissioners, partnered with the Peekskill Housing Authority to select this developer. And I know you were talking about, you know, you worked real hard to try to make something happen, but it's looking like it's not going to happen. And, you know, we can be on the ground level as far as building that new conversation. So how do we start that conversation?
I think the board, and you can let your attorney speak, but the board just did a resolution to accept this person, this group as a partner. But that was just the person accepted as a partner for me to work with.
Gotcha.
Partnership means nothing if we can't come to an agreement. Uh-huh. And as I've said to them on numerous occasions, there were things in the request for qualifications that the housing authority said we must have. And for us to negotiate that was ridiculous, because we already said we must have that. So I think the board needs to get themselves together and say, we haven't been able to work this out, and so we are going to no longer negotiate. And our attorney, our repositioning attorney, is prepared to do that letter for you anytime.
Okay.
We already had it done. We were just waiting. I wanted to present it first.
Gotcha.
That we haven't been able to move forward with this, subject to what the Peekskill Housing Authority needs. Our attorney sent them documents with the same things they said they could not agree to, the documents that he has done with other housing authorities with the same information in it, and it's worked out just fine. So I just felt like well, there's certainly nothing more I could do.
So basically, so first we have to, you know, communicate that
to the attorney
to let him know that.
That is correct.
Can I have a question? You keep saying the board.
It says the board here,
but I'm not privy to that information that you discussed.
You weren't here. I'm talking about the board already gathered this in before
got
here.
I'm just talking about the chain of command.
Right, but I'm
saying... It says the board of commissioners.
Right, that's the old board. Is it any way possible for the new board to get some kind of documentation we can read, so I can be up to date with what's going on?
That's what she's saying. She's saying that. What she's saying is that they've already exhausted.
I understand that.
Okay, so she's saying right now,
but I just want to read the situation.
Yeah, but it's over. There's no situation.
It's not over. It's still under negotiation.
No, it's not. I stopped negotiating.
It's until the board says no more. The board has to agree.
Correct. So we have to. That's why I'm asking her. What's the next step? So the board has to agree. Okay. So we have to figure out that. I guess that'll be at the next meeting.
What you want
to
do?
You have to put that on the agenda.
Yeah. You discuss with here. You can put that on the agenda. You can make that discussion here.
No, it should be in executive session.
As we did before, and just talking about the preliminary of it. Yeah.
We'll put that on the agenda on next month. Speak up. We're going to put that on the agenda for next month. Ms. Martinez, do you have any other questions? Any other questions on the executive report? Ms. Crosland, the council's report.
Just to pick up on what Ms. Crosland said, they've initially referred a number of matters to me that I can report on: violations, failure to file recertifications. The office is starting to refer some of the non-payment matters. We've been bringing them in the court. We've been moving some of the cases ahead. We've already had one or two evictions, I believe, were carried out by the marshal when things weren't resolved. And we've moved ahead. I think there were two or three other ones, some where there's been stays, so the tenant has 30 or 60 days or so to vacate, and one I think that the marshal's acting on. And with the non-payments, it's been difficult with the ERAP. However, I have been successful. One of the arguments is that ERAP will only pay to a certain amount, and some of the balances due from tenants is far in excess of what any ERAP would pay. And so even if we can proceed on the amount that would not be covered by ERAP, I think we can move these matters forward. It just has to be brought to a head because there's some sizable amounts that are due. And if tenants are able to come up with funds, we're more than willing to work with them. Sometimes they're represented, which is often very helpful, usually legal services. But my suggestion is that we continue to keep bringing those, not only the violations, but the non-payment proceedings. And it sometimes brings things to a head, it sometimes gets assistance, or at some point, it just, if someone hasn't paying and the bill's going up, we just have to proceed and try to move to remove the tenant. So that's what we've been working on.
Any questions of the attorney? There is no new business. Well, no, there is new business. No unfinished business. We'll move on to new business. I need a motion to pass a resolution about March monthly bills. Can I get a motion? Can I get a second?
Second.
Comments and concerns on the March bills? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, any opposed?
No.
Four yeses, one no.
Yes.
Resolution passes. Go to the tenants' comments and concerns. Before we get to tenants' comments and concerns, I just wanted to relate to everyone that after this meeting, I will be stepping down as chairperson of the Peekskill Housing Authority. And at the end of the month, I will be stepping down from the board total. I figure with a new executive director coming in, it's only fair that a new board chair.
You mean a new board altogether?
You
wish. A new board altogether. What the hell is going on? Excuse me. You're the attorney.
We're going to get to.
So you're getting a new director and your board is stepping down and you're leaving some of them?
The board is not. I'm stepping down.
You're the chair.
Yeah.
How many board members are there supposed to be? Seven?
Mm-hmm.
Seven. There'll be five left.
Listen, you remained in board members. Lewis, you came in here to help these people.
I did.
You need to stick it out. That's number one. Number two, I think you all need to keep the devil that you already know for the time being. Of course, she wants to leave. You guys got a problem, man. This is ridiculous. With $1 million in arrears in rent, and you're all sitting up there looking like one opposing just the simplest things. Your whole full board is not here. You got a guy here that probably at the end is going to help you. But you got, that's a new board member. Your tenant commissioners stay, 2 years? Your tenant elections were done wrong according to the ACC. They shouldn't have been done until July. And also, it should have included all of the housing authorities. That's Park Street and any other scattered sites, Howard Street, whatever you have.
They did.
Okay? And that was not done.
Well,
you don't hold.
Let me finish what we do. We'll
get to it. I mean, it's just irritating to hear this. This is sad.
You'll get your chance. So with that, I just want to say it's been my pleasure being chair and a board member for this organization. It's one of the highlights of all the things I've been able to do. I just love working with Ms. Croslin. You know, when I first came in here, I was stepping over everybody's toes, trying to do what I wasn't supposed to do. And working with her directly, she's helped me out really well, understanding what my role is. And trying to get done as much as we could for the Housing Authority. We're paying our, because when you work with HUD, nothing is easy, nothing is fast, everything's slow and actually goes backwards. But we've been able to try and do as much as we can.
So without an assistant director, may I ask, do you have an assistant director or a director? Who's going to take your place?
We've got resumes in and we're going to be discussing that in executive session.
Do you have an assistant director?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
You have an assistant director?
Yes, I do.
Who's that?
Janine Phelan, sitting right there.
That's your new director. What's going on? That's your new director. I said, you can't get to anything. That's your new director. That if you've created an assistant director position, her qualifications, whoever she is, what, Ms. Phelan?
Oh, she qualified.
Then she's your new director. There is no voting on that, what you do. And now, I would caution you, she's your new director. If you're going to have another assistant director, they will go after she leaves. But you can't get rid of the assistant director. And I heard that from a tenant. And so that you're the one that they're saying they're not going to get the job to. That's you.
Okay. We're done.
So somebody needs to call the AG, but continue.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
It's been my pleasure. Some things we've been able to do is, I just want to say a couple of things we've been able to do, especially about the from Ms. Crawlin, is create a pest mitigation program. We've had a lot of issues with pests. We created one, a mold mitigation program. We've created a monthly newsletter for tenants. Jesse, 1 second, guys.
Go ahead.
Tina and Esther, please. We've created the Rent Cafe to assist tenants with so many things. That was really one of the things we worked hard on, and we got through. I was happy with that. We worked with NECS for our after-school program and meal programs. We worked with Choice for mental health assistance. We provided PPE supplies to tenants during COVID. We've collaborated with schools to also provide more PPE. We worked with the First Lutheran Church to provide food to Dunbar during the COVID. Collaborated with the Parks and Recs to provide free registration and lower cost for the Peel Park pool entrance for the Peace Housing Authority tenants. We assisted bringing in $600,000 for CBG for the Dunbar Heights bathrooms, which is starting to come in soon. We've coordinated with the Peekskill Rotary Club for socks giveaway to tenants and their children. We've done the Peekskill Rotary, both the Peekskill Rotary Club, we've done the Toys for Tots, which was never done before. We've got that done for the kids. We're working on the Boys and the Girls Club, which we're hoping gets done and can provide a lot of programs and leadership programs to not only the tenants, but the rest of Peekskill. And that's really just to name a few. We've got so many things we've had in the harbor, but I will
Good
not
job.
Be there to take it forward, but I'm always there to help. With that being said, we are going to turn it over to the tenants' comments and concerns. Can you please say the name, state your address, and we are here to hear your comments.
Before you guys get into it, I just have one more question. So the repositioning, that was for all of housing. That so we wasn't just talking about only. You're talking about Dunbar, Turnkey, everything.
Yes.
And is there a way to negotiate just one piece of those parcels?
That is, but that's something that needs to be discussed and decided once you have a developer, uh-huh. Because the developer is the foundation of what is going to happen here, because they're the ones that can get the money.
Yeah. No, only because I was told by someone that you cannot separate those buildings.
You may, you can,
okay.
But you negotiate that. You
okay.
Decide. You're going to talk about things like how much it's going to cost you. It might be a whole lot more expensive to do it that way, how much money they can get. So there's going to be a lot of variables.
Okay.
But it's a free fall. There's nothing written in stone.
Yeah. I just want to say to the board, I think that, you know, because these things take a long time.
They do.
So I think that, you know, you definitely need to put this on the agenda and vote on it. I know everybody's going to have a different perspective. But, and start that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take years to make that. So sooner the better.
And just add to it, all the buildings, all the properties are falling apart.
Yeah.
And if we don't get this thing done sooner or later,
And you may decide that the developer that you have, that would be probably the best, is to use the same developer if you can work with them. It just means that they won't do all the projects at one time. Or they might. All that has to be determined.
So with comments and concerns.
That's it.
Me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, Ms. Carlson already, she answered our questions. You talked about the issues of the sidewalk, improvement. It's the first part. She said the only portion of the sidewalk that were a part of the construction plan will be repaired. No funding to repair any of the remaining ones. And you talked about the erosion of the grass and the grass seeds and first and second court, especially the third court down at the bottom, where there's when it rains a lot, there's a lot of water, so
She said that any issues from previous contracts are planned to be remitted with the current contractors on site. And so she basically said that everything we asked her, she already went over. And she talked about the back porch. She said a fly went out on the 31st. They came back and they did two parts. They put another pole in.
Yeah. And this is the bonding company.
Yeah. And they put another piece in down here somewhere.
To make them so secure.
Yeah. But we were wondering about the steps when you step on them. Are they going to put a cover over top of there?
Just if they find that that's a problem. The bonding company now is in charge of this.
Okay.
So the bonding company will make it right. If there's nothing wrong with it, except you don't like it, then they're not going to do anything about that.
But if they
find that there is a health or safety issue, then they will take care of that.
The new director, they said this is why there are 10 commissioners on the board, that they are going to talk about the hiring of the new executive director. And the kitchen funding and upgrades.
Still the same.
Yeah, it said what we do extra status. She said they were the same. You're still waiting on,
Well, we have no money. I mean, they said that they are going to give us money, but no money's come from any place. So.
But when we called their office, they said that they were waiting for.
I don't know what they're waiting for. All
they
I know.
They said they were waiting for inspection from Housing Authority.
Housing Authority doesn't do inspections for.
No, that from the county. The county.
Well, then they have to work that out with the county.
Okay, wait a second. The county says, we have advocacy at the county and everything, but the county says it's the Housing Authority, that they're waiting on the Housing Authority to fund this thing.
I'm sorry, Tina, can you hold
sorry
it
about
your
that.
Turn?
It's part of it.
Okay, but you finish
sorry
up first and
I'm
I'll
finished.
Move. Wow, okay.
Okay, sorry about that.
Tina, you want to piggyback on that? Go ahead.
Okay. So, sorry about that, Luis. Okay. I want to be respectful. And
appreciate it.
First of all, mm-hmm. Thank you for all of your service to the board and everything. So, anyway, so the county, everybody says that they're still waiting on the Housing Authority to give them the paperwork to get the permit to go through.
Not.
And they're not. So you're just waiting for the money from the county. All of the paperwork has been done.
I don't know what paperwork has been done because I don't have to do any paperwork until I hear from the county. The county says, we're going to give you this money, right? Whatever they've asked us to do, we have done. But we're not. We don't inspect. We don't have anybody to do that kind of work.
Okay, so we just need to go to the county and
yeah,
find
and
out
say,
where that money is.
Yeah, well, the county. While the county's talking to you, maybe they should talk to the Housing Authority.
There you go.
They should.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
I would
that
love
part
that.
Right there.
Uh-huh. I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that.
Mm-hmm. We do.
I'll ask them to call you
because we'd like to get it done sometime.
The potholes in the front over here.
Listen.
When you come in,
yeah,
we asked that you, can they remember how they fill them up?
They do. Yeah, yeah, they
can
will.
Can they fill them up because the people are loose? A couple of people are tired.
They don't
know
this. And what we said?
You said that that you'll do it in
weather.
Yeah,
it's
with the weather, but
it has to be.
But I'm talking
consistent
about, you know, before it gets to that point, can you just do a filler up like you did before?
Yeah, we will do that, but we can't do it when the temperature's not a certain temperature.
Uh-huh.
And
well,
so
like
once
now,
we get a consistent temperature, they can do the potholes.
Yeah, because we need, but they're tearing up people's cars.
Well, you just have to go slowly.
Even if we go slow. You see how many potholes are in the front? Coming in?
Yeah, I came in. I tried to remember.
No, not over here. All right, and the second one was the light fixture. It's the light in between the building that she's talking about. It's between 20 and 28. It's the spotlight for there and around the corner. They don't work. That's what they're talking about. And they have put in work orders, but they put in work orders. They did the wrong light.
Mm.
So that's what we're saying. You know, we're trying to make it specific to so they know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You got that?
Okay.
Done, Valerie?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, okay. She got it.
Okay, regarding the back exits, there are some real questions about whether the original installation meets ADA standards, and on three points. One, it looks like it's being corrected now, and that is that there are no risers between the stairs, and that's being repaired by kicks and being applied. The other problem was that ADA standard demands that there be handrails on both sides of the stairs, because you can never know the capacity of a person needing to use that exit, whether they are affected on the right side or the left side, and need to have handrails to get themselves safely down. The third is the surface on two aspects. One is that the spaces that are just part of the construction of that material are more than a half inch in places, and the ADA requires that any spaces in the surface be no more than a half inch, because things can get caught in it, people's canes or other apparatus. And also the I don't know what to call them, the spikes on that surface make it extremely dangerous, present an impediment both for people who may be disabled in some way and either need an accommodation such as a cane or crutches or, you know, whatever. But also, I cannot imagine putting my bare feet or stocking feet on those stairs if I have to get out of the unit in an emergency, and that's what they're there for, an emergency. You don't have time to put on your shoes or put on your children's shoes or an elderly person's shoes if you've got to get out of your house, your apartment, your unit in an emergency. So I really have to disagree that they do not meet the standard of accessible egress. And if they're going to be continuing to do the remediation that meets the ADA standards.
Thank you, Ms. Ruby. Jenna, can you look into those issues with the ADA, make sure we're meeting the codes? And the health and safety also find out if these spikes are on the stairs.
Okay.
See what their feedback is on that. Thank you, Ms. Woman.
Yeah, I don't even know how does that even get in there? How does that even get constructed if you're saying that it's not ADA compliant?
No.
They've never been ADA compliant.
Never.
No.
And the part of the ADA requirement is that any construction done from the date of the ADA going forward, regardless of how old the building is originally, has to meet those standards.
Thank you.
Before we get to the
I'm sorry, are you done?
Yeah.
Before we get to the yes, anybody else has any? Anyone? All right, yes.
I just have some questions. You say you're leaving the board?
Yes.
So when are you going to have your elections? Because you certainly can't have an election here to make board members. You have to do that in your headquarters, which is 807 Main Street. Can't have it here. If you're going to have any elections for new board chair or anybody else, according to the ACC, should be in the headquarters, which is 807 Main Street.
And we just
with notifications to the tenant that you guys are going to do elections on whoever. Now, since you're leaving at the end of the month, I think it would be quite unfair to have any officers until a whole complete board is seated. Now, your board seats have to stagger over 5 years. So, Ms. Simpkins, you're up in 23 of July. You're fired.
It's 25. I have my papers.
2018 to 2025.
I didn't start in 2018. That was an error on whoever tied.
She picked up someone's term.
I did not.
Oh, so you're only there until that person's term is expired.
I did not.
Which is what?
23.
Yes, July.
Ma'am, you're done.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, because what happens, I'm just trying to tell you how it goes according to the contributions.
I'll go to City Hall.
No, hey, you don't have, I can show you right now, if you'd like to read it.
I'll get my own.
It's the ACC between housing and the United States of America. Yeah, just, I'm talking to her, and no disrespect. But you can go to City Hall. I've already left the ACC with the City Hall. Which, what happens is if you take someone's term, you use that, well, their unexpired term.
I didn't take anyone's unexpired term.
Okay, so in any event, that's how that works.
Okay.
But your board seats have to stagger over 5 years, like Councilman Scott here was given a 5-year term. The conflict with that is, and you're talking about working with the county and everything, he just announced that he's running against Colin or attempting to run against Colin in primary, am I correct? It's a conflict, sir. Article 19 of the ACC is a conflict. You cannot sit on this board and run for political office. Okay, it gives the perception of a conflict of interest.
Yeah, so what article is that again?
Article 19 of the ACC, that would be page, you're a board member, you'll be able to get it. So that's basically what it is. It's the Article 19 conflict of interest. Also, board members that are holding the seats, there should be no conflict of interest, like somebody shouldn't work with you, and you and that person should be on the board, nothing like that. I hear you talking about being in, working with the school district. If there's a family member or someone that's on that school district board, that's also a conflict, okay? I don't think that in all of the years, I think when we were on the board, which got us ousted, we followed everything the ACC, including getting rid of the executive director. Now I hear you saying Ms. Crossland's leaving. What's new is an assistant director. You can't overstep the assistant director and hire and go, and unless you do a worldwide search with no director. Once she leaves, you can do a worldwide, but it appears you have an assistant director. That's your director until once after they assess her for that year. Once Ms. Crossland leaves, if they say, you're $1 million behind in rent, as we did with Mr. Bankatan, which was $62,000 at the time, which is why he was fired. Then, okay, so you can't visit on her what's happening now, but that's your assistant director. That should be your director, okay? And if you did not want an assistant director, then you guys should not have voted and had it in. Doesn't matter what board is tied in or all of that, that's your assistant director. I'm just hearing that they're saying nobody's gonna get the job. I thought they were talking about Crossland, but if you got an assistant director, can't nobody say, I will see that they won't get the job, it's wrong. And that board member should be removed.
What was the section again?
19.
Go see Matt, I left it for Matt.
They didn't get a copy from the act.
Okay, they can make it. Article 19.
Thank you. Yes, anything else?
And civil rights requirements you might want to look at too, since folks are telling people that so people aren't getting jobs even for whatever reason. Again, there's a myth out, maybe you should let people know that it's federal and Indian housing. Doesn't mean you have to have I don't know where somebody got that. You have to be an Indian to be a director of housing. That is absolutely not true. Yeah, well, one of the tenants came to me and said that that's the reason that they should not be allowed to be the director because they're not Indian.
Any other comments here?
No, I'm done. May I approach Rob and show it to you?
Please. Well, I mean, yeah, please.
Is that okay?
Sure, yes. Thank you for your comments, Yester. And everyone else, thank you. We are going to head into an executive session to talk about personnel. So we're not going to adjourn. We'll come back and adjourn. But when we are in our executive session, we must have a clear one. So can I get a motion to enter executive session?
Second.
Any comments or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.